So I'm delighted to be having some time this morning with Andreas Wiedel of Arrowbiz. And Andreas, I've met virtually on the networking site Ecademy, but this is the first time I've been able to speak to him. I know Andreas from his writing, the postings on his blog pages, and he has a great sense of humour, and he also is very challenging and thought-provoking in his ideas. Andreas is the number one authority in cold calling in Europe. So welcome, Andreas, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Elaine.
As you're aware, Andreas, what we're focusing on today is really how our individual businesses, how the small business person can really accelerate their business in 2007. We're focusing on the new year and maybe some things that people can be doing towards the end of 2006 that will really help them to boost their business. And I know specifically that cold calling is a thing that a lot of business professionals actually fear. So I wondered if you could today give us really some hints and tips about ways in which people can really take advantage of all this hope that people have at the beginning of every new year, all the goals that people set. How can we make the best of that?
Well, that's a challenging question, Elaine. And I wonder if you have some minutes for me, do you?
Indeed, we do, yes.
Indeed? Okay, yeah. Because I might need some help with two or three questions if I can make a start with my questions first.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Elaine, just in these two sentences, you receive the secret what my cold calling technique is all about.
Right.
Called, yeah, exactly. So, everybody who's listening must not go further through the interview now. You can stop right here. I explain the E-Bear technique, emotional benefit argument and reasoning, consists of respect. I ask you for some time to get into business with you. And the second point was, I ask you for help. And this differs dramatically from what people in general do when they approach prospects.
Yes, I think people, when you're making a cold call, you're feeling very much that you are imposing on that other individual who you're calling is automatically going to have a barrier once you come through on the call to them.
Exactly. There's a natural barrier because when imagine the time when we didn't have telephones. You were knocking on your prospect's door and asked for being invited to approach. Mm. And on a telephone, it's nothing different. Yeah. Many people in cold calling think if I call them up and they pick up the phone, they answer the phone, they must be prepared. Mm. This is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
You just stepped into something they were doing before the phone rang.
Yeah.
And there it's a matter of being polite first to ask, may I? Do you have a couple of minutes? Or even to a certain extent, if you're coming from a more challenging approach, the important thing is to ask a question, to ask the person, your prospect, I'm short in time, can we make it short, please? Which may sound quite arrogant, but isn't. Because if you approach a prospect, is this a decision maker or is it a time waster? If she or he is a decision maker, is he supposed to have much time available for you? Certainly not. This is the first point about being polite. The most common approach might be, do you have 2 or 3 minutes? The next point is, how did you feel, Elaine, when I asked you if you have some minutes?
Yeah, I felt very comfortable with giving you that.
So we already made some good atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the next point is, how did you feel when I asked you for help with 2 or 3 questions that I might have?
Yes, again, comfortable with that. You're not asking me for a lot. You're asking me for 1 or 2 questions. So you're
yes.
you're positioning how much, I know how much you're expecting me to give.
Exactly, exactly. And now talking about accelerated business. Within these two sentences, we have a very powerful approach to the prospect. And he can decide, and he has a feeling, do I give him the 2 minutes or two or three questions or not? And if he says, yes, you have the permission. So, in the end, we are talking about permission marketing on the phone. Once you have the permission, you can use the permission to ask your two or three questions, whatever your purpose in cold calling is. Let's take the example of making an appointment, because making an appointment for a small business enterprise is the most sustained way to create valuable business. The most powerful business is created when you meet people in real life. Not only online, not only on the phone, not only in email marketing, but in real life. And this is what cold calling approaches should be directed. So, how to get there to the appointment? Normally, when I ask you for permission to ask a two or three questions, the reply might be, no, I don't have time because I'm busy. I'm a decision maker. The next question is, being perceived as a polite person in your approach is, but tell me what it's all about. If you are being asked what it's all about, come to the point as soon as possible and as fast as possible. What it's all about, in the case of making an appointment, what is it all about?
Yeah.
The appointment. In general, there is a saying that preparation of the phone call is 70% of success. And the main points in the preparation is being aware who is the most important person on the phone. The caller, exactly.
Yes.
The one who's calling, not the prospect. It's the one who's calling. If the cold caller, if the small business enterprise is not in a good mood, the conversation is most likely to fail. Get yourself in a good mood on the telephone. Make yourself comfortable. Have a cup of tea, whatever, and then pick up the phone. And there is only some simple keywords you need to know. Get over the first barrier, to get past the gatekeeper, to make a good conversation with the secretary.
I was going to ask you about that, because getting through the gatekeeper, the secretary or whoever, is often a challenge.
Most people, when talking about the gatekeeper or secretary issue, most people are talking about how can I get rid of them and get through to the decision maker. And there lies the secret. From people talking in that terms, have the intention and the impression, this is something I don't like. I don't like the gatekeeper and I don't like the secretary. Once, and this is the 360 degree different approach, is once you start thinking about, I make them my buddy. I involve them in a conversation. I make them responsible. Then you're much closer to a different approach. Let me give you an example. I ring you up and you reply the phone as gatekeeper or secretary. And normally you get many, many calls during the day and try to block most of the callers. The issue is, I always ask the gatekeeper or secretary if they are competent to deal in the matter I'm calling about. And if they are not competent in the matter I'm calling about, they have to pass me on in most cases.
Can I ask you to give an example of the sort of question you might ask to discover that? Because that...
Let's make a play on the phone. If I say dring dring, you reply as the gatekeeper of a company, please.
Okay.
Dring dring.
Morning, Life Enhanced here.
Good morning. This is Andreas Sweder from Arabis. Would you please connect me with Mrs. Elaine Gold?
Can I ask what you're calling about, please?
Certainly. I'm calling about an appointment and I have two or three questions in that matter. Are you able to answer these questions?
I hope I can, yes.
Okay, so that's what it's all about. Now it depends on two or three questions I'm asking you regarding the appointment, which might go into detail. Or I could even start to reply, yes, it's about an appointment, and regarding telephone training in the sales division.
Right.
And I have two or three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me with that?
Mm-hmm.
So I make you, Elaine, as gatekeeper or secretary, responsible and check your competence if you deal with these matters or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't deal with these matters, you don't have the competence. It's a different approach. That doesn't mean that on the other side of the line is sitting a gatekeeper or a secretary who's totally ignorant. I'm quite aware about that, and I don't say that I'm successful in 100%, in 100 calls out of 100. They pass me through because of a major factor. Through the questions I'm asking, I've got into conversation with the gatekeeper and secretary.
Yes. Very much your approach is about building relationship, isn't it,
exactly.
Andreas?
Exactly. It's all about building up a good relationship from the very first start. And it's not about the technical stuff or the products you have to sell.
And would you say that should be the major objective? And for those of us who are wanting to use cold calling to grow our business, that we should be thinking that the first call you make is just the first call. It's the beginning of a relationship, and not to build the expectation that in this first contact, I'm going to get the appointment I want.
Exactly. Is to divide your customers into A-class customers and B-class customers.
Mm-hmm.
The A-class customers are the high-value customers, prospects you want to get in touch with. So there's an additional stress. Just take an example. If you run a small business in your area and you have made a list of some prospects you want to call from, maybe taken from the Yellow Pages.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some famous names on your list, and you have some minor names you think, oh, I don't really want to do business with them. Also, apart from the fact that they are in the same line of business of my prospects I want to call. So you take the B customers first you don't really want to do business with. So you have a certain attitude in calling and not the high pressure to make this call successful. So from your inner intention and attitude, you feel quite more relaxed and can say, okay, maybe, maybe not. Maybe I get an appointment or maybe not. I don't care. It's equal to me what the other guy, my prospect, may think about me if I approach with the E-Bear technique, which might be new.
And that certainly helps, doesn't it, to feel that you're in that relaxed state.
And now comes a surprising fact. In my history, when I started my freelance career a couple of years ago, I called prospects as well. And I also started with the B-class customers. The surprising thing is they are still my customers today. Because they didn't feel the pressure coming across the phone. It was quite relaxed conversation from the very start, but ended up in, let's say, 5 of 10 cases with a direct appointment during the first call.
And as you built the relationship, they're no longer B customers, they're A customers to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
These are all very, very useful, practical hints and tips, Andreas. Can I ask you about planning for and administering your cold calls? How do you go about that?
This might differ from the most common approach in cold calling. I do it not very planned, because normally there's trained... Just let me me go back one step. If you imagine 10 telephone trainers in a row, you would get 11 different answers to each issue coming up. So regarding the planning of a phone call, there's some opinion out there. You cannot call decision makers between 10 and 12 because they are supposedly in a meeting. Or you cannot call this line of business during that time. This is wrong. You pick up the phone when you are in a mood. Can you plan that you are in a good mood at a certain time, Elaine?
No, I'd like to, but I can't.
So, if you make a plan, if you make a schedule on your customer database for phone calling from 10 to 11, and you're not in a good mood, it doesn't make sense to make a phone call.
No.
So, you just do it when you feel right. This is how I do it. And then there's no matter of time when you call. The only parameter I be aware about is, am I in a good mood?
Yes, yes.
The question is, how do you get yourself in a good mood? And there is a certain techniques you can use. First of all, using a headset phone that enables you to gesticulate with your hands, or even if you have a mobile, calling from a mobile, you can get up and walk around a little bit. And if you deal with objections during the phone conversation, you can stand up, go to the balcony or window and face a tree out there. And then you get some inspiration to overcome the objection, maybe. And this is part of it. Now, I'm not sure if I answered your question correctly. I'm coming from a total different approach in my training and how I deal with customers. One of the first sentences I tell my customers when they book my cold call training is that I want to get rid of them as soon as possible, that I want to make them independent. What happens in reality in most cases is that there's much ado about the cold calling process, and how you have to plan it. But we're talking about small business.
That's absolutely
today.
Yeah.
So, how to get in touch with the customer? If you talk in these terms, which comes across like a military operation, much too many hurdles built in the way until the entrepreneur starts to pick up the phone and make his call.
What would you say is your biggest tip for reducing the fear?
The biggest tip for reducing the fear to pick up the phone is just do it. Let me tell you a story. When I started my own cold call practice when I was employed with Dun & Bradstreet, we had 2 weeks training to get to know the best technique. It was all theory, and I had an overload with theory at that time. And then when it came to practice, we went to a subsidiary here in Frankfurt, in a big office, many people. The trainer stand close to me and came along every 5 minutes. Hi Andreas, did you already make your first call? And then the department leader came across, the manager. Did this guy already make his call? And I was sitting there. And facing the telephone, and perceived it as kind of rattlesnake ready to bite. Until I decided, okay, upright position, get into position, everything is in order. 3, 2, 1, pick up. Dial the number. If you maybe feel some kind of unsecureness during your first sentences, if you're not used to it, and if you have prepared some sentences and everything, your prospect might not hear that. That's the first thing.
Right.
But you think you are insecure and have fears that might not come across to your prospect. The second thing is the so-called professionals in calling. If I make a conversation, Elaine, with you as a cold call professional, what is your impression? Do you think you have many opportunities to object what I'm used to do 60 times a day? Do you think you have a chance? But in the end, you have the customer's chance, the prospect's chance to say no. I don't want to deal with that professional because I have the feeling whatever I'm going to say, I have no chance against that guy. Right? Where most of small business come from is being an amateur in cold calling. At a certain step, they might approach the level of a professional. The professional is not very much liked in business because most professionals are signed as, I don't know if I may say that, as some kind of cheaters sometimes.
Yes.
So let's exceed the level of the professional and then cross the border and step into a level beyond the professional, which I call the professional amateur. So at that level, there's almost no difference between the professional amateur and the amateur where you come from. Like our conversation we are doing right now, do you have the impression I'm very well prepared?
I don't have the impression that you're very well prepared. I think that you're allowing this to flow.
Even my English is not very well. I didn't take lessons before our call. So, apologies to everyone who's listening this message because of my lack in English knowledge. Back to the topic, Elaine. What may come across as insecureness on the phone, like the or not fluent speaking, or interruptions, or making pauses, which from a common perception might not appear very professional, that comes across as authentic. That person is authentic.
Yes.
And I, as a prospect, as a decision maker, am more likely to make a deal with a guy who might be wholeheartedly and authentic and warm-hearted than with a professional.
Yes.
Who's talking straight, straight, straight. It's about that, it's about that, it's about that. Deal?
Yes, definitely. And how would you recommend to people that they deal with the no's, the rejection? Because as you say, you're never going to get it 100% right. You are going to get people who are abrupt with you, who are just going to want you off the line as quickly as possible.
Well, that's an interesting question about the rejections and objections you're talking about. What's your experience, if I may ask, because I'm not quite used to that. According to my experience, I don't have many rejections. What's your experience in your daily business, Elaine?
I think in some calls that I can recall I've had that people have said, well, again, it may be somebody trying to reach the decision maker, going through a gatekeeper, and having people say, well, no, I can't put you through, you can't speak to them right now, send me some further information, which you often take as being a way in which they're fobbing you off. Yeah.
Did you realize what you just did, Elaine? You just gave me 1 or 2 minutes to think about what to do next.
Yeah.
Because you approach asking me, I didn't know which question you would ask, that you would ask me the question about how to deal with rejections and objections. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, but what I did, regardless which objection may come up, I said, okay, which is accepting the objection or rejection, whatever it may be. It is okay, main issue, you're still in the conversation.
Yeah.
The second step, which I followed, was I repeated with different wording, with my words, what you just said. I mirrored. The third thing, because I was possibly lacking in an answer that may make sense, I was asking you a question, and you replied. And you replied and talked about your experience 1 or 2 minutes. This is exactly how I deal with objections. I did right now.
Yes.
Sorry for if you feel.
No, that's fine. I'm happy to be an example.
Now let's talk about some major rejections and objections on a phone. Let's talk about a practical example. Maybe I don't have time. If you have been passed through to a decision maker, right? Mm. There is two possible objections regarding the time matter. If you make an appointment, I don't have time for the telephone conversation right now to answer your two or three questions. Or I don't have time to give you 1 hour to meet. So let's go for I don't have time for the conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would deal with that objection in a way replying, okay, perfect. When would it suit you better, or shall I keep it really short?
Mm-hmm.
And normally I wait for the answer, and this is also, if the prospect gives you the objection, I don't have time, it's often a matter of checking the cold callers, and they also show their competence in a telephone conversation if they can deal with objections I come across of a refusal. Many people feel personally refused if they deal with objections.
Mm.
That isn't the case because the prospect doesn't know you. So back to the plain facts, he's talking about a time matter. If you can deal with the objection, I don't have time, when would it suit you better? So here's an alternative.
Yes.
You're still in a conversation. Or the alternative you give, or shall I keep it really short? So you let shine through that you are not talking 10 or 15 minutes, totally rubbish, if I may use that word,
mm-hmm.
but that you are able to keep it really, really short and don't steal your prospect's time,
mm-hmm.
which might reflect on your future common mutual business. You're not a time waster.
Mm-hmm.
Neither on the phone nor in real business. And you're a step closer to the contract, to the appointment, or to the desired outcome. The next thing is, in many, many cases, people permit and say, okay, if you can keep it really short, go ahead.
Yes.
So the next thing is, the next objection with the time is, I don't make appointments, I don't have the time to meet a person, I don't know, please send your material.
Yes, that's a common one.
That's a common one?
Mm.
Okay. I'd probably reply amongst from 10 different alternatives to that rejection. Well, I'm thinking about sending you the A-class material. Would you like that?
Mm-hmm.
When would you like to arrive the best material that I have?
So lots of questions again.
Definitely. And every sentence I speak out with a question. That gets the ball back in your garden. The most likely reply will be, of course, I want the best material. Yeah. Okay, I will prepare that for next Wednesday at 10 o'clock to arrive at your place. Would that be fine, Elaine?
Yes, I mean...
You would have time?
I would have time, yeah.
Okay. I'll be there next Wednesday at 10 o'clock at your place because I am the best material you can get. And I take the effort to present myself, which would not be possible in that depth, and to answer your questions in detail that might come up. And even if you don't have the R that would be needed, and if you say after 50 minutes, no, I'm not interested, I happily leave your place.
And you would always be wanting to engage the prospect in coming to an outcome.
Exactly, exactly. I've heard some question marks coming across our conversation now regarding mm-hmm. my reply. Mm-hmm. I insisted to show up at a place for mm-hmm. an appointment without mm-hmm. sending mm-hmm. material before.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that. Of course, I'm not so fluent in English language as I'm in German language when I do that. In German language, it comes across a bit tongue-in-cheek, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
So I'm most likely to add a kind of smile and some glue maybe, you know. Mm. And add some, please don't get me wrong, was just a try. But this may also cause some humor on the other side of the line. Might both start laughing.
Mm.
And if we come to that point, what do we have reached now? If we both start laughing.
You've got that connection. Yes, that's
yeah.
right.
No, you got a connection. Yeah. You got a connection. And to make it clear to everybody who listens to this audio recording, we are talking the first time today. You know what I mean?
That's right. I think that's been great. You've given us a lot of hints and tips there. I tell you a story now that somebody told me recently.
Yes,
and this was a business person who was on the receiving end of a cold call.
Yes.
And the caller wanted to arrange an appointment to discuss industrial cleaning, carpet cleaning. And the prospect said, well, no, you know, I don't need my carpets cleaning here in the office at all. And so the caller said, okay, fine. But the prospect then said, well, aren't you going to ask me anything else? And this obviously took the caller by surprise. And she said, well, what do you mean? And so the prospect said, well, you're a carpet cleaning company. You've asked me whether my company needs its carpets cleaning. I've said no. But she said, I have carpets at home. Why didn't you ask me if I needed carpets cleaning at home? And this is a true story. And it turned the whole thing round so that in the end, the caller did come back and say, okay, we can do home domestic cleaning as well. And she got a bit of work. But it was the prospect who educated the caller.
This resonates very much with me because every time I pick up the phone and get some call from a call center, which is obviously from the script, I listen to them because it's also improving my training. And yeah, and I ask them, not all the time, when I'm busy, I put down the phone immediately, but sometimes I listen to the conversation to get some impression what's going on in the outer world outside of my office. It's a matter who is leading the conversation.
Yes.
The receiver in your example is obviously a decision maker who got an idea about carpet cleaning. The caller was straight focused on his script, on the one line, on the main purpose of his call. And this is what keeps many, many businesses from making an appointment or making a total different outcome of what they had on their script.
I can imagine the girl being totally surprised and bemused by this, the caller.
Yes. I can give you some examples I made in my practice. When I pick up calls from call center agents, there's call center agents who are just mumbling or having a voice that's not very charming. But amongst 100 call center agents, there's one or two who are really diamonds. And then I start getting interested, not about the stuff they are reading from the script, but the way they are talking about. And then I turn the conversation. And finally, I came off with two freelance teleworkers who are now working for me.
Could I finish, Andreas, with with a question for you, which is really to, if you can, share with us what you would say as being the three most effective and easy to apply techniques that could really help people to double their business in the new year?
The three easy to apply techniques is calling, calling, calling. Because everything we do should be directed to the handshake, to perceive the other person we are dealing with in real life as authentic, to look in the other eyes, and to create sustained business. So how do we get there? While calling. Just do it.
You've got to make that connection.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you very much, Andreas.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really do appreciate you giving up your time on a Saturday, I have to say, to record this interview. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Elaine. My pleasure.